friends, this is Praveen podcasting to you from Bangalore, India. Welcome to Beautiful World, the Baha'i Inspired Podcast. It's been a really long time since I last podcasted. We have Thaddeus with us from all the way from the United States. Hi, Thaddeus.
Hello, Praveen. Hi.
Hi. So, Thaddeus, what's keeping you in Bangalore these days?
Well, I was going to school in Overland Park, Kansas.
In the U.S.?
In the United States, yes.
Okay.
And the opportunity presented itself to study abroad.
Oh.
And one of the programs that was offered was a program here in Bangalore through my university in the United States. So I thought that, one, I could go and experience another culture and study another culture. India happened to be the culture, and at the same time I could be counted... get involved with Baha'i activities and be a pioneer to a new locale.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yes, and a pioneer is a Baha'i who leaves his homeland and goes and lives in another country and culture that is foreign to the one that he knows.
Oh.
So I have come here to study the Indian culture, and that's what's keeping me here in Bangalore.
And today we are here to discuss some of the fundamentals of the world's religions today. And one topic that was on my mind was the existence of God. What do you think about this topic?
Well, I think the topic of the existence of God is, as you said, one of the fundamental teachings of any of the world's religions.
Oh, really?
Is that there is a creator.
All the religions of the world say that.
All religions, in one form or another, say that there is a God, there's a higher being, a higher power, by whatever name he or she may go by.
Okay, and today we are here to discuss the Baha'i proofs of the existence of God.
Yeah, the Baha'i proofs of the existence of God.
Okay, let me play the devil's advocate here. prove me that God exists. Prove me now. Come on. Go.
Well, no, that's a mighty task indeed, Praveen.
Okay.
As simple as it may sound, the very fact that you and I are sitting here and are alive is a proof that God exists.
I am not convinced.
Well, the very existence of us being here begs the question, how did we come? How did we become to be here in this existence? Some would say by mere chance of particles coming together and
matter reacting with each other.
But you know, we can really take that question and look at things here that are tangible for us to see on this earth.
Okay, like
for example, a painter.
Okay,
and his painting. Hmm. His painting is a creation. His painting exists. We can look at the painting and see the beautiful, colors.
It's tangible.
It's tangible. We can touch it. Yeah. But then we see the one thing we want to know if we really like the painting. Well, where did this come from? Who is this artist?
Okay.
Who is this artist? I want to seek him out and find out more paintings that he's done.
But what if we don't find him?
Well, if we don't see the artist, we still know that someone painted that painting.
Yes, we know that he exists.
We know that the painter, even if the painter is since passed, we know that at one time this painter was here, and this painter painted this painting. Okay. So the very existence of that painting begs us to logically conclude that something created that painting.
Yeah, someone, something that's better than...
than the painting itself.
Painting.
Yes, that's another point.
Like for example, there is the Mona Lisa, the most the beautiful Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that implies someone like Da Vinci exists.
Yes, yes, and as many art historians would look at the Mona Lisa and say that painting is perfect.
Okay.
That painting is perfect, but that doesn't mean that the painting itself exceeds the perfections that were apparent in Da Vinci.
Yeah. You cannot compare it to Da Vinci.
Exactly. Yeah. Da Vinci's creation in the Mona Lisa, as perfect as the Mona Lisa may be in its own sphere,
okay,
in its own level of a painting,
okay,
compared to other paintings, as perfect as it may be, it does not exceed the perfections. It is not more perfect than Da Vinci himself.
And yeah, so Da Vinci is much, much, much more exponentially than the Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa is just one creation of Da Vinci. Has just a few facets of the perfections that existed in Da Vinci.
It's a manifestation of Da Vinci. Of his perfection.
Of his perfection. I mean, Da Vinci also had his drawings. You know, he had the Last Supper. All of his drawings and creations that he drew were also manifestations of his perfections. And to say that one of his creations exceeded everything defies all logic.
Yes. So what we conclude out here is that if there is a creation, it implies that there is a creator, and we also conclude that the creations cannot exceed
the perfections in the creation cannot exceed the perfections of the creator. That an artisan's song is more perfect than the musician himself defies logic.
Okay. Now let me agree with you that yes, God exists. But how do we? What are his characteristics? What are his attributes like?
Well, another thing that is apparent if you study man,
okay,
and if you look at man in his life,
like us,
mankind as a whole,
okay,
women,
okay,
and men together,
okay,
humanity.
Okay.
If you study humanity, you notice that humanity is subject to certain limitations. Certain weaknesses, if you
like.
Man has to succumb to hunger.
Hunger.
Man succumbs to the urge to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Man succumbs to the urge of being tired and having to sleep.
Sleep. Okay.
Man succumbs to being born. He succumbs to having to
death.
To die.
Yes.
These are all things that every human on this earth goes through.
So man is subjected to a set of laws which he cannot break away from.
It would appear that way, yes.
He's governed.
Even the ascetic who is renounced all of the world's possessions,
okay,
and is sitting on the mountaintop,
okay,
and meditating,
okay,
has to succumb to hunger, sleep, death, life.
So we are governed by laws.
Yes.
So what does this imply?
To bring it down to a level that perhaps is more easily accessible by one's mind.
Okay.
If you can imagine a garden.
Yes. Okay. I'm imagining a garden.
Or better yet, imagine a field of just weeds, and imagine a field of plants that are in no necessary order.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, say, you know, someone buys this plot of land,
okay,
and has a love for this land and decides to be somewhat of a gardener, if you will.
Okay.
Plants flowers, weeds.
Brings in order.
That, again, is apparent in all nature. You study nature, there's an order to nature. Unprejudiced order. Fire burns without prejudice. Trees and weeds grow without prejudice.
You see that, like I see that there is order from the smallest hydrogen atom to the largest solar system. You know, there is you see at the lowest end, you see that there is a nucleus, and there is the electrons are going around the nucleus in order. They don't defy the laws. And then there are the planets going around the sun, and they all are governed by these common laws which are universal.
There seems to be an order amongst them, yes. And to go back to our gardener metaphor.
Okay.
The gardener comes in, plants, gives an order to this, and
true,
he governs this plot of land.
Okay.
He waters, this person waters, this person plants, this person weeds, it gives tender love, nurtures the plants, plants beautiful flowers, beautiful roses, apple trees, currant berry bushes, whatever you may have.
Okay.
And makes this plot of land that, while in its own degree may have been beautiful,
Okay.
And transforms it into utmost perfection.
Okay.
Transforms it into something that exceeded what it previously could have been.
Okay.
Now, if I, as a visitor, walk past this garden,
okay,
I look and I say, oh, what a beautiful plot of land. What a beautiful garden. I wonder who guards that. My mind doesn't even think that garden just happened to pop out of existence just like that.
Okay.
The grass didn't just
come into being.
Yeah, the grass didn't just start to be trimmed. The flowers didn't just grow there, and they weren't just pruned just perfect. The apple trees were not pruned just to sow. It didn't just happen there. My mind goes, I wonder who this gardener is. Even if I do not physically witness this gardener in his garden, pruning the trees, keeping a natural order to things, trimming the grass, removing the leaves, I know that there's a gardener. I know that there's someone taking care of that garden. I know there's someone infusing it with love, infusing it with their time, that makes it beautiful.
Really? Yes.
And keeps the order and governance. Yes. If I can witness this physically on this earth and know that a garden is governed, and I can look at nature and see there's an order and governance to nature.
Yeah, I see that.
Does it defy logic for me to say that there's no creator? That there's no unseen gardener keeping an order and a governance on man, making him have to succumb to sleep, hunger, death, these things? Just because the gardener is not visible, just because we cannot see the gardener, gardening is God, doesn't mean that there is no gardener.
It means that the gardener exists.
The gardener exists. Even if we physically cannot see him with our own eyes.
True, true, true.
We can see the garden becoming, apparently having perfections, manifesting perfections.
So, can I conclude that because we are governed, there is a governor?
Yes. It would be logical to assume that being that we are governed proves that there's a governor.
So if there's order, it means there is someone who has brought about that
order. Brought this order. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Just because there is weakness, it means there is strength.
Yes. Because we have strength in the world, there has to be weakness in order for us to know that there is strength.
Okay.
In the same way that light proves that, darkness proves that there's light.
And ignorance proves that there is knowledge.
Knowledge. Ignorance is the lack of knowledge.
Okay.
Darkness is the absence of light.
Thaddeus, that was an amazing discussion with you. Very informative, very thrilling. With that, we will move on to the quote of the week section. Can you read it for me aloud?
Of course. This is Baha'u'llah's word, prophet founder of the Baha'i faith. From a collection of writings known as the Hidden Words.
Okay.
O son of being, busy not thyself with this world, for with fire we test the gold, and with gold we test our servants.
That was thought-provoking. And that's all, folks, for this week. Hope you all enjoyed the shows. And this is Praveen podcasting to you from Bangalore once again. And thanks a lot for listening.
Feel the sun on the window pane. Now I know that I'm living. Lights went out on the boats in the bay just before the sun was risen. So Friday morning has come again, and oh, what a gift I've been given. All my time is my own today. What else could I have chosen but to give it to you? 'Cause I can't give away what isn't mine, and all that I have is my life and my time, and the feel of a hometown where I've landed. But slipping away, I'll be empty-handed, so all I can call these things my own. to give them to you. I hold the earth in the palm of my hand, so say the wise and the sages. I've got nothing, but I'm working God's land. I've got the wealth of the ages. Wear the clothing of the common man, doing the work of the angels. Time flies like fine grain of sand. My life is a turn of the pages, and I'll give it to you. 'Cause I can't give away what isn't mine. And all that I have is my life and my time. The feel of a hometown where I landed is slipping away, I'll be empty-handed. So while I can call these things my own, gonna give them to you. It's ended, and it's only what love demanded to give it to you. It's like giving away what isn't mine. Can I really claim my life or my time, or even the hometown where I landed? Slipping away, I'll be empty-handed. So all I can call these things my own, gonna give them to you. And if I can call these things my own, gotta give them to you. Can I really call these things my own?